This portion of the Junk's brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy Drink. Don't Sleep has all of your energy and performance needs covered. Get some now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code Junkies. And remember, Don't Sleep makes you great. Yes, great. I have one I have one of the small, like, what would you call it? The flavor shots in my locker. Might use that today. Might have to swig.
Did
one
you
of
have
those
the vodka Spindrift last night?
I did not. Last night, I'm going to have my
tonight
Spindrift and Scotty's vodka concoction.
Yep, Scotty's.
Tonight.
Scotty.
That sounds like a Friday night concoction.
That's a Friday happy hour. Don't wait too late.
Oh, I won't. Trust me, I won't.
Day drinking's the best.
It's fantastic. All right, let's go to the BetQL guest hotline. Say hello to John Shambi, MLB play-by-play voice for the Cubs and for ESPN as well. John, good morning. How are you?
Hi, guys. What's happening?
What's up?
Hey, thanks for joining us on your day off.
Ooh, look at this.
You know it.
Very nice.
You know it.
What time? It was a night game last night, right?
It was a night game last night. It was a weird and wild game, and then I came back and watched hoops.
Oh, you did? Yeah, I want to talk some hoops, too. So, Cubbies, Rangers last night. Of course, Rangers defending champs.
Yeah.
You know, really good lineup. I know it was a walk-off last night. I think your boy Smiley didn't pitch too well. I don't know what inning that was, like a 10th inning maybe.
Yep.
I did bet – you don't have to comment on this or respond. I did bet the over 84.5 team wins for the Cubs. So I need to start putting something together here. But I like them this year. I don't know how you feel, but I like their lineup.
I think you're – you know, it's funny. That's a play that's gotten a lot of traction for whatever reason. Like I have some like, you know, nerd type smart friends who work, you know, in baseball circles who have the Cubs at like 92 wins. Mm-hmm. I think there are a lot of people that like them at over 84, what did you say, 84.5?
Right.
So we'll see. It's not going to be a very good division. I'll tell you this, if they're playing to 85 wins in September, I would be floored if they are not competing for the division title.
Right, right.
Hey, Boog, this is kind of a big picture view. And look, it's only opening day. It's one game. But you couldn't have had more divergent opening days than the Orioles and Nats had yesterday.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I understand that Orioles is a little bit different because new ownership comes in. It's the home opener. The Nats were on the road. Josiah Gray got pummeled. He's supposed to be the staff ace.
Yeah, he wasn't
it
good.
Didn't look great. And nothing but great vibes coming up out from around the Orioles. The new owners are at Pickles buying people beers.
Corbin Burns is going to be a stud.
Burns is mowing people down.
Yep.
Like it was a tale of two baseball teams yesterday between the Nats and the Orioles.
I think that's the way this year is going to be. I mean, I think that the Orioles are going to be one of the juggernauts in the American League. They should be one of the elite teams in baseball. And I think, you know, for the Nets, it's still going to be, you know, a process of, you know, supplementing, you know, what they have with, you know, with free agent type guys, but hopefully some growth from the younger players. But I think, look, the division will be tough just because you have two. I mean, I think if you were to say the three best teams in the National League, you'd go Dodgers. But I think you'd say that the next two are the Braves and the Phillies. And I think you probably could make the case that the Braves are the best team. So, you know, the East is going to be tough. So I don't think that, unfortunately for the Nats, I think it's going to be a lot of that this year. The O's are going to be very good. And I'm not so sure on
You watch Corbin Burns a bunch. I know you have, and he's just. I mean, he gave up the one home run to Trout early, but that was the only hit he gave up. He struck out 11. I mean, he was just nasty yesterday. And that was the one thing Baltimore missed last year. They didn't have that true number one. They tried to go out and get Flaherty at the trade deadline, but he wasn't a number one, and so he didn't work out. So they went out. Give Mike Elias credit, man. He went out and got Burns a true number one. And pair that with this, you know, 2 through 4, 2 through 5, they got a pretty damn good rotation now.
Yeah, and I mean, he's a guy who is a neat story in terms of, like, shifted his repertoire and, you know, basically was, you know, one of those, like, four-seam guys and decided to go with the, you know, the sinker and the cutter and, that cut fastball has been one of the best pitches in baseball. His cut fastball has been one of the best pitches in baseball, and he's super diligent with his homework. He's one of those guys that reads, you know, Harvey Dorfman's mental ABCs of pitching before every start, and he's a craftsman. There's no question, and he's been one of the best in the game.
So, getting back to the Nats, and Rizzo kind of talked about this when they did like this red carpet before the, or I guess it was after the Futures game. But he said we just have to build on our young guys just getting better. So Abrams had a really good second half last year. I think he stole 33 bases just in the second half, and he stole 47 for the year. If he can get on base at a good clip, man, he's easily a 60 stolen base guy. He could get 20 pops. Thomas was really good last year. So I think if you start building on those younger guys, and you already know what they have in the farm system, and maybe we see them midsummer, but you're right. I mean, they just threw in the Senzels and the Winkers, Joey Gallo, and I think they're better than they were last year. I could be totally wrong. I also went over 66.5 wins for them. I think they could get to that high 60, low 70 number. But can they get better? Can those guys like C.J. Abrams and Lane Thomas, can they get better slowly but surely?
Yeah, and I think the other thing, too, that if you're really going to do it is it's some of the kids in the farm system have to pop. Like, take it back to, you know, what you were talking about, the Cubs. Not that your audience cares so much about the Cubs, but, like, if the Cubs are going to be a 90-win team, it's going to be with people who are not on this roster. Some of these kids, the Cubs, their farm system is loaded. So somebody like Ben Brown, Cade Horton, Pete Crow Armstrong, Matt Shaw, Owen Casey, one of those guys is going to come up and give them, you know, a 2-win season for the minimum. Now, for the Nats, they're not expecting it, so they can slow play it.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, some of the kids they have are going to have to turn into studs. Like, that's how it has to happen. You know what I mean?
Right.
Joined by John Ciambi, MLB play-by-play voice for the Cubs and ESPN. So how salty was MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred about the Ohtani gambling scandal that completely upstaged the Dodgers-Padres South Korea trip?
Ooh, yeah. I would have to say quite salty. These pretzels are making me thirsty. Man, it's one of those things you don't, how do you see something like that coming? And then to have it with the most famous baseball player in the world, like he's the most famous baseball player in the world. Like this would be, it would be like if it happened with
LeBron, you know, or someone. Yeah.
Tom Brady. Right. Yeah. That's right. So it's a big deal. I don't know how it ultimately gets squashed. Bish, you and I were texting about it. I don't know what's real. It's hard to imagine random guy X running up $4.5 million in debt, you know? The idea of, you know, that Ohtani was blindsided or didn't know or
I think it's far-fetched. I really do.
Yeah, it seems far-fetched is what it does.
Do you think that's going to be a distraction for them? Clearly hasn't been yet. I mean, they were killing the ball yesterday. But do you think that down the road, especially if it gets back into the media, like something else comes out, would that be a distraction for them?
I think that we in the media have a tendency to overstate that type of thing. We always, like, something's gonna be a distraction. I don't know. For the most part, baseball players are really good at just doing today,
right?
And
right.
Because you play every single day. I will tell you, I think that the one area where it could be, but I'm not sure because of the market size, and that is the fact that he's not going to answer questions all the time.
Yeah.
So to me, the rub in terms of it being a distraction is the fact that how often is he going to speak? Because I don't know if you guys know, but like in Anaheim, there were times when he won the MVP and he wasn't available to the media.
Right.
And so,
was that because he just wasn't comfortable?
I would say it's sort of a combo of, like, you know, again, in their culture, they really want to make sure that what they're saying is 100% perfect, so that nothing is, you know, is given to chance to be misunderstood. But I would also say, you know, I think that he wasn't particularly available to the media and dictated the terms. I don't think that that is going to be tolerated, because you're going to have so many national people. And then if it filters where you're having teammates being asked the questions because he won't answer them, then guys are going to get pissed off. But I'm not going to sit here and I don't know how it'll play. So I always lean towards, will it be a distraction? Probably not as much as we think. And they're very good.
Yeah. And it didn't distract him yesterday. He had a couple hits, so it's obviously not bothering him. All right. So, before we let you go, let's switch it to college hoops. Of course, you call college hoops as well. And UConn is, they're just a machine. They haven't played a tight game in a couple years in the tournament. They're just really, really good at every position and well-coached. Hurley's psycho, but he's a damn good coach. And who knows, you know, how they play against a Purdue, if they have to play them, or a Houston, whoever. But UConn, I think they're better offensively than they were last year. And last year they were damn good and they had Jordan Hawkins. Yep. But this year, and they've got a big guy who could possibly handle a Zach Edey. Not as heavy as Zach Edey, but he's big. So, and their guards are legit. So do you like UConn to repeat?
Yeah, I mean, you got to lean that way. You know, what's funny is, I mean, doing the Big 12 as I did, like, I really thought that Iowa State was one of the teams that could take out UConn because they defend so well. I mean, I'm not saying that that was the likely scenario, but I do think that if, you know, Iowa State played UConn 100 times, I think Iowa State's beating them, you know, 41 times, something like that, 42 times. I think that, you know, they're really good, but they get knocked off by Illinois. Yeah, at this point, you know, as it keeps – I mean, look, in the early stages, you almost have to take the field against one team. But, yeah, now I'm with you, and I don't know. The one thing – I don't think that people will stop Edey. To me, I think that the one aspect of Purdue that I don't love is I think that they lack a little bit in terms of athleticism.
Right, I would agree.
Yeah, man, like Danny Hurley's done a pretty amazing job. As you know, there's a great article recently talking about how, you know, was it a year or two ago where he was like, what's up with this analytics stuff? And he really wanted to find out about how they could be more efficient offensively. And they've worked really hard to do that. And as you said, a brilliant offensive team. So I think it'll be hard. I mean, if Houston was at full strength, I think that they're a team that could beat them. I mean, in a similar way to Iowa State, they defend like crazy, but that wouldn't be the likely outcome to me.
It'll be interesting to see tonight how Purdue plays against the Zags, because the Zags get up and down. They do have some athletes. They've got a couple bigs that might be able to cause some trouble and draw Zach out a little bit. But I think Purdue's guards, like you said, they're not great athletes, but I think they've matured as players from last year, especially Smith. He was he had a lot of games last year where he looked like a freshman. This year he's played a lot like a junior or senior. But it'll be interesting to see how Purdue fares against the Zags tonight.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to watching the Houston game. And I also – I get a chance to see Marquette early in the year. Not early, January.
Right.
And when they're right, they're a tough team. So there's a bunch of teams out there that are still, I mean, loaded and good enough. But I would circle back to what you said in terms of UConn's got to be where you know, your head is, especially at this point.
What does John Shambi do on a day off down in Dallas?
Like, don't put this out there.
I'm not putting
us.
It out there.
You ready?
Yep.
Okay, just between us.
Yep.
But
off
the record, our producer is actually from Dallas, so he's having people over to his house. Mm-hmm. And in between, I'm going – so there's a nice barbecue. Now, between us, there's hoops games in Dallas. So, like, Duke's playing Houston and Marquette's playing as well, and I would prefer to be going to those games.
Oh, but I forgot about that. Yeah.
But that just kind of wandered into it, and now we're going to a barbecue. So I get to watch, but, like, I kind of would have liked to have gone. So,
well, can you tell the producer thanks but no thanks?
Yeah, pull some strings.
No. Oh, you can't.
You can't do it.
You can't do it. You got to go.
Got to be a good guest.
That's not being a team player. The play-by-play guy can't parachute out of.
Hey, real quick, tell me about Jordan Wicks, because I drafted him on my fantasy team.
Really good change up. I think he'll be just a solid guy. I think, you know, at the high end, he could end up being a 3. This year, he's going to pitch as a four. Or a 5, but right. I think is good. Like, I think that the ceiling isn't super high, but I don't think the floor is really low either. So okay. I like him. He's good. All He's right. good, solid pitcher.
All right.
Boog, always great catching up with you, man. Good talking to you.
All right, boys. We're going to connect in D.C.
Let's do it next time.
Yeah, well, I'll look at the schedule and we'll figure something out.
Yep.
You got it.
All right, that's John Ciambi, MLB play-by-play voice for the Chicago Cubs and ESPN. We're the Junks. We'll be right back.